You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 164 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and My New Horse. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're talking about the challenges and benefits of getting your thoroughbred into the show ring against other breeds of horses with intrepid competitor Hannah Ong. Then we talk with New Vocations Amanda Vance from the New York facility for a new training tip and adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York.
And this is Lee Beamer in Withville, Virginia, and you're listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Lee, we need to talk about the weirdest text message I think I've ever received from another horse person.
It was a good one, wasn't it?
It was a good one. I got this message from you. I'm going to pull it up and just read it because I was like, what?
Give it to the people word for word.
Yeah. Now I got to find it. Okay. Too many people send me messages. Where on earth? All right. We're going to do this the old school way and search because I'm like an old millennial now.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the search function is for, to make life easier.
Oh my God. Where is it?
Facebook?
Oh, that's why. God, we're becoming those people where like you have conversations on multiple platforms.
That's how you know it's real.
That's how you know we're friends.
Yeah.
All right. So I can try to describe for you people the photo because I got a photo first, which is really how you know it's good. But the caption of the photo was, if you're asking yourself, is that a snake bite? I do believe the answer is yes. The photo is the inside of Finn's mouth.
Correct.
So... Correct. What was she doing with a snake in her mouth?
Well, I'd like to know, and I'm sure she'll never tell her secret. But yeah, I went out there, I guess it was two Fridays ago, right before our big clinic with JJ Tate, and was going to ride her, you know, make sure everything was going good. We were going to be great for the clinic. And
update, it was not going good.
Yeah, things were not well. Jeez. And I didn't even know Finn is like, sometimes very stoic, but I didn't know until I went to put the bit in her mouth, but she was really reactive. And I was like, well, that's, you know, out of character. So I gave her a good look and her whole side of her lip was swollen a little bit. I was like, well, that's weird. So finally I got her to like, let me pick her lip up. And there were two really suspiciously spaced marks inside of her lip. And I'm like, well, what in the world could that be?
But vampire.
Yeah. Either a vampire, which she still hasn't turned yet. She still has a heartbeat. So it can't
be. You get a lot of sun down there. That can't be it.
That's true. She would have been a goner by now. But I reckon it was a snake bite. You know, I sent the picture to you and then my vet, obviously. And
I'm glad I got it first before the vet. That makes sense.
Well, check this out, you know? And then my trainer, Catherine, who has actually had some horses bit by snakes before, too. And, you know, it was just a crazy thing. Gave her some Banamine and the swelling came down and she's been fine, luckily. But I did go out and check on her like every hour for about until midnight to make sure she was okay.
Did your face fall off? Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it was so close to her airway right there on the inside of her lip. But
right. Yeah, that could have like swelled up like the whole. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, it must have been a dry bite or, you know, I don't know. I think if it was bad, obviously, it would have turned very fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you would have known pretty quick.
Yeah. But the fact that I didn't even know until I went to put the bit in her mouth was, you know, it could have been much worse. And we're very lucky. But
like horses, why? Like what? I mean, yeah, like she was probably minding her own business, I imagine, but like,
well,
I'd also like to imagine she was like cool and like hunting it a little because that's just funnier. But like,
well, you know, with Finn, I can definitely see her like targeting the snake. So it's going to be her villain origin story. She's got a little bit of snake in her now. We're calling her the snake queen.
The state queen. Yeah, Jobber would have picked it up and like thrown it at his friends, like been like, look at this. So yeah.
Yeah.
This is red horses, man. You gotta look out for them. So They're how was crazy. The clinic after that?
Well, the clinic was really, really good. She was like good. The best she's been in a long time. So I was like, well,
maybe. All right, so idea.
Right.
You gotta hook her up with a snake every time.
Right. Just a friendly little snake bite, you know? Never hurt anybody, non-toxic, I guess. Toxic
one. Right. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, no, she was actually super, super good. It was a really good clinic, and we rode both days, which was a real treat. Worked on her softness, which Finn is not known for. We're trying to change the tide there, so she's coming along.
I love that. Well, good for her.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm glad, obviously, that all that smelling and everything went down pretty quick. So
me too. Work. You know, it's like, yeah, of all days for that to happen. Of course, it's right before we go and do like the one thing we have planned for the winter. So
yeah,
that's horse biz for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. That's show biz, baby. Is that kind of it for you guys for the winter then? Like, you're looking forward to taking some time off? Or
no, we have a ton of lessons scheduled.
Great.
Yeah, I've been riding some of Catherine's schoolmasters and then riding Finn back to back to really kind of get ahead of her and get some serious winter training in to hopefully get up to that next level. So it's been fun, and Finn loves to work, and luckily the weather has still been pretty good here for the most part.
Gosh, you're like the model like riding student, like ride the schoolmasters and then bring your own horse along, you know, and I'm like out here in the pasture just like funning around trying to like, well, this is where we're at.
Yeah, it's been a real treat to be able to do that this winter. So I'm feeling lucky for that opportunity.
Yeah,
you know,
good for you. Yeah, we're gonna keep tracking your progress. I'll live vicariously through you as I'm plodding through the snow.
Yes. Well, how have your boys been? Has it snowed there yet?
It has. Yeah, I haven't ridden in the snow because it's, you know, it's early season, so it just sort of makes like snow mud. Yeah. So we don't really get good opportunities until we either get like a good snowpack, so like a foot or more. Mm-hmm. Is a good surface to ride on, or the ground freezes and then we could get away with like 4-6 inches. But if the ground doesn't freeze, like all I'm going to do now is just punch up anywhere I ride. So today, like it's actually, we're kind of back in a warm spell again. It's been in the 40s and pretty dry. So I rode in the pasture today, but nice. Yeah, otherwise I'm just riding. Every winter I say this, and every year I'm like, I feel like I need to defend it, like, because it sounds really janky when I'm like, oh, I ride in the gravel mine. But we have a gravel mine on the property. Yeah. Like part of the farm is leased out, and they're done every day if they're even working, like by 4, and I don't get to the farm until after 4. So it works out really well because it's a hard packed trek.
Right. Yeah. Perfect.
And it's the same surface if you were riding on like a public trail system. It just sounds weird that I'm like, oh, I go ride in the mine. Like, I'm not like riding into a pit or anything. It's just, you know, it's a long slope up and a long slope back down. And it's a nice surface to just hack around at the walk. And it changes every year. Because like every winter I go in and I'm like, all right, what have they done in the past year? So there's like new mountains of gravel in different places and big machines and like new like water reservoirs in different spots. So it's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
And because it is like, you know, kind of like a wide road, it's a little mentally safer when the horses are spicy because they're like, there's boundaries. Like if I go to the pasture, like today, Jobber was like, there are no boundaries. I was like, okay.
So just wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we've reached an agreement now after this many years together that I'm like, you can have your little like head tossies as long as it stays there. And that's fine. And he like, oh, bless him. He's very honest. Like, you know, when he's going to be spicy, like he doesn't lie. He doesn't hide it. You're just like, oh, good. Like the minute you get on. So like, he's always very uphill and you're like, this is great. And then there comes a point where you're like that uphillness has turned into like a sort of weightlessness in the front end. And you're like,
okay.
All right. So like, we crossed a little creek and he like, I'm crossing the, wow. Yeah. I can like blast it out the other side of the creek. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, whatever. At this point.
Yeah.
So he does his little like, wee. Okay. I'm fine.
Oh,
like, correct. So yeah, he'll be 17 next year, which is crazy to think about. I know. I was like, is that right? Like, I had to go back and check.
Gosh, how long have you had him?
16. 17? I think it's 17. I gotta look. I think if I'm doing the math, right? He's 17. I've had him since the end of 2017.
Wow.
I picked him up in November and then started training for the makeover December 1st for 2018.
Has your gotcha day anniversary happened yet?
You know, okay, so this is the thing. Like, I put too much stock in Facebook memories reminding me when these things are. Yes. And I got locked out of my old Facebook. So I've lost a lot of, like, chronicles in my life. Oh. So I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So there is a carryover from Instagram. Like, I found Shorty's the other day. So we've had Shorty for 6 years. That just, that memory popped up on Instagram. And I was like, oh, Shorty.
I saw that. So cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I took him out for a little hack the other night. I hadn't ridden him in a long time. And I was like, like, you know, I'm just not used to him. Like, he's my husband's horse at this point. And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, and all we did was the same thing. We hacked around the gravel mine. And I was like, good Lord, I'm clearly, like, in my rut.
You know, it's so hard. Yeah. Like, and that's one thing I found with doing these lessons on some of Catherine's schoolmasters is it's like, my goodness, before this, I have not ridden a horse since Finn and who knows how long.
Right.
And it was almost like, I don't know that I can control this thing or actually ride. You know,
right? Yeah, like there's something to be said, right, for that horse. That's like basically an extension of your own brain. Yeah. Like I can have a thought, or Jobber has a thought, and like we're vibing at this point because it's been like so many years together. And I've actually never had a horse this long before in my life. So like, this is like great, and I love it. But then definitely you get on something else, and it's like, good Lord, I'm going to crash this car like immediately.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't think I can steer this thing.
Yeah. And like, it's debatably, Shorty can't really steer to begin with because he's just like a wiggly weirdo.
Yeah.
But like, definitely, I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be good for me. I am going to try to work with Shorty more this winter because with the days being so short, Eric doesn't get to ride much. So it'll be good for all of us, I think, for me to get on some new horses. And yeah, I really need to find a place. I can't find like a local. I can drive 2-3 hours away and find ranch horse trainers, but there really isn't anyone in our immediate area, so it does make it pretty tough. We don't really have much at all. I mean, we have a lot of recreational riders and but not a lot of other professionals in this area, so I just need to make some goals and then plan some road trips, I think.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, maybe not for right now though. We have It's a good episode, a good time of year to kind of like look back, reflect on the year we had. And we're not going to get into too much goal setting yet. That's a problem for New Year me.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the meantime, before we get into all the good stuff in this episode, let's hear a message from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. A runny poop and a dirty butt challenges for your horse. Does his diarrhea have you both down? Does he struggle with bouts of colic or other digestive tract issues? Or is his digestive distress due to lifestyle changes or travel or illness, injury, or antibiotic use? Probiotic Wise is your supplement of choice when a balanced hindgut is your goal. Available in powder or paste, Probiotic Wise is a concentrated source of both prebiotics and probiotics that capture and sweep out pathogenic bacteria, support healing, and maintain healthy gut tissue, and sustain a robust microbiome. To see if Probiotic Wise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet, visit kppusa.com, or call 859-873-2974. Shorty was on this the whole time he was on his Lyme medication.
Yeah.
And he never had dirty butt or runny poop. He was fine.
Well, we have with us today Hannah Ong. She's an adult amateur dressage rider and event rider and the owner of Cheshire Run Farm in Davidsonville, Maryland. She came on my radar back in September, I guess, when I took Emmy to dressage at Devon, and I saw that she had some thoroughbreds entered in the breed class. So it always excites me to see that, see thoroughbreds out in a big venue. So welcome, Hannah. We're excited to chat with you today.
Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, the thoroughbreds in the big venue is something that I've really gotten into as I've been showing my mare, and, you know, Devon is a big experience. So what does it mean, or what does it feel like to you, or what does it mean to you when you get to take your thoroughbreds and put them in front of a big audience that may or may not have had a lot of thoroughbred experience before or seen thoroughbreds in venues such as that?
I think sometimes, especially with thoroughbreds, people get the idea that you aren't going to have a chance to show at some of those big venues, that your thoroughbred may never be in the FEI classes at Dressage at Devon or in the big Hunter Derby classes at Upperville under the, you know, under the trees. But there are really some opportunities out there to get thoroughbreds into some of these venues, which not only is it great for experience for your individual horse, it's great exposure for the breed, and it doesn't hurt that you often go home with some pretty iconic pictures.
Absolutely. And those Devon pictures are always so pretty.
Yeah, I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania, so like the Devon was like our classic show, you know, that we would, and I say go to, not to compete, we would like go and just be like rail rats, like watching the Grand Prix and stuff, because I was at like a very small 4-H barn. But yeah, like that blue oval is so iconic. So yeah, seeing thoroughbreds represented well there is just such a treat. I love that. So Hannah, like, I mean, you've been like on kind of our collective radar, because I know we've interviewed you. Have you competed at RRP at the Makeover? I know I've interviewed you for magazine articles before.
So I have tried twice to compete at RRP, and something has happened to either me or the horse right before the competition both times. But I was a demo rider at the very first, I think it was RRTP back then,
program. Oh, the good old days.
Stuart Pittman did at the Maryland Therapeutic Riding about a million years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So that's like, because we're celebrating our 15 year anniversary there at RRP this year. So that must have been, yeah, like 14, 15 years ago. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Okay. So
I was riding a really experienced thoroughbred who Stuart had tried to have a horse right off the track, one starting its training, and then one that had kind of been there, done that. And so I ended up there on a 20 plus year old thoroughbred who had done 70 horse trials at intermediate or above.
Oh, bless. Oh, awesome. Okay. That's a professional. Mm-hmm. I love that. So what draws you to thoroughbreds? I mean, do you work with all breeds? Like, you own thoroughbreds right now, but...
I do own thoroughbreds. I currently have 4 of them. When I first started riding as a little kid, I was riding at an up-down lesson barn down the street from my house. And my parents told me, at the time I was about 6 or 7, that I could have my own horse when I could pay for it myself. And so in college, I bought a 5-gated saddlebred that I attempted to event. Do not recommend that at all. And I also attempted to event a full Percheron. And after neither of those being terribly successful, I decided maybe I needed to find some people who knew something about eventing and work backwards. And I had the opportunity to lease a couple of thoroughbred schoolmasters from a barn in Baltimore County, and sort of fell in love with the breed then. And this would have been, goodness, 2007, 2008.
Okay, but shout out, though, for taking some alternative breeds into the sport, too. Like, I feel like every kid, like, at some stage has that, like, pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of, like, story of, like, listen, this is not the right horse for this, but this is what I have, and I have a dream, and I'm going to make it work. So... I'm glad you had
both of those atypical breeds to recognized horse trials.
Oh my gosh.
May not have been my best idea, but I did get an 18 two-hand Percheron around a recognized beginner novice course.
Heck yeah. Way
to
go.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, okay. So plenty of experience to look back on, you know, plenty of love for the thoroughbred breed. You know, we're seeing now in kind of the horse show space, there's increasing opportunities for thoroughbreds to compete, you know, in thoroughbred classes or thoroughbred shows. Obviously, we put out the Makeover on, which has a fairly narrow, you know, goal, which is to showcase what the horses can do in that first year of retraining. So we'll set that one aside. But, you know, you've got your Take Two classes, you have like thoroughbred charity shows. What's your take on thoroughbred competition versus open competition? What do you prefer?
I've shown in both. I think the thoroughbred only shows are a great way to get horses out, to meet other people who are showing thoroughbreds, and to sort of get an idea of, a little bit like the Makeover, what can these horses do? And the answer is a lot of different things. I think sometimes people can be kind of nervous to take a thoroughbred to a straight dressage show or a hunter show, thinking that, you know, there may be some breed related bias there, or how is this horse going to act around experienced show horses? So those are, I think, a really great way to kind of dip your feet in the pool of horse showing. But, and then I sort of view those classes, like the Take Two classes, as kind of an intermediate step between showing in the thoroughbred only space and making your way towards open competition. Like, you get to be on the grounds and see all the other horses in those open classes competing, but still compete against other thoroughbreds who, you know, are not purpose bred for the jumpers or the hunters or whichever discipline you're doing. But I think, you know, a good goal is to say, can I move on from this and show that thoroughbreds can hold their own against an open class?
I love that. Yeah, that approach of like viewing that as an intermediate And, you know, and for some people, like, you know, for budget reasons or whatever, you know, that might be as far as they go, which again is fine. But yeah, I like that idea of like, use that as your stepping stone to get into that open stuff.
And some of the Thoroughbred only shows and the Thoroughbred only classes really let you kind of develop a community. I mean, you meet other people who are there because they love Thoroughbreds and they love showing Thoroughbreds. And so you've got some people to talk to, you make some friends that you see at other shows. And it's kind of nice sometimes as you move on and showing to have that community, because I think we've probably all experienced that sometimes people at the open shows at first glance are not all that friendly to the Thoroughbreds.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you your thoughts on that, Hannah, because with my girl, Finn, you know, we kind of went from the makeover. The next year we did some school and shows and the tip champs. And then we went headfirst into open rated dressage competition. And it was a little intimidating to show up with a little Thoroughbred amongst all, you know, the big warm bloods. And I would say that I think I've experienced a little bit of bias from the judges based on, you know, the breed or what have you, you know, not being the typical. So what has your experience been with maybe some bias from the judges or bias from other competitors when you show up with your Thoroughbreds?
I've definitely run into bias from other competitors, you know, some kind of snarky comments about little horses, Thoroughbreds, not belonging in that space. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have been on the receiving end of some judging bias as well. Some of it I think you see maybe more in the, like in the hunter space, where it's, you don't get to see the scorecard. You don't really know how the judges got to their decisions. And you may see, you know, something that's not as good a mover or didn't jump quite as clean, but is more of that bigger, chunkier, warm blood picture than the Thoroughbred you may be jumping around. And, you know, they end up pinning higher than a good trip on a Thoroughbred.
Right.
I think in dressage, I'm not sure if I would call it breed bias, but I think sometimes Thoroughbreds come in at a disadvantage if the judge's individual perspective is, we start with the gate score, and then you really can't do any better than that, regardless of how accurately you do the movements, you know?
Right.
Thoroughbreds are not purpose-bred for dressage. You're not going to see, for most of them, there's the odd outlier here and there, that gigantic, very high suspension trot that, you know, or a 14-foot slow canter stride yeah. that you may see in those purpose-bred warm bloods. So if you are going in on a warm blood who the judge thinks is an eight mover, you can ride a less accurate test and maybe still place ahead of a Thoroughbred who maybe is a six or a seven mover and rides a much more accurate test. I mean, I do appreciate the judges who are willing to reward you for correctly ridden movements, maybe without first starting with the idea that this is a Thoroughbred who's going to have a six trot and that's the best you're going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. And especially at the shows when they just like to announce the breeding, you know, sometimes it's very clear what you're coming in on. But yeah, I think it's nice when you can get rewarded for that accuracy. But
oh, that's, you know, interesting. That's, so do they do that at recognized competition? They announce the breeds? I do not show recognized anything.
In my experience, every show I've been to, yes, they will say, you know,
interesting.
Hot Girl okay. Summer by Jimmy Creed, you know, and list all of her.
Right. Six-year-old Thoroughbred mare or something like
okay.
that.
Right. Yeah,
great. The judges didn't catch it before. They've caught it now.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Like, we've interviewed some judges in the past, you know, to ask them, like, yeah. And to be fair, we started with a slightly skewed pool of judges because we picked from, you know, ones who have gone to the makeover. So they kind of like, they get it, you know, like they've seen all the Thoroughbreds side by side, you know, and they've offered some advice to be like, you know, here's how to make sure you are presenting the best product so that a judge can overlook any kind of bias. But, you know, not every judge obviously is going to work that way. So, Hannah, to that point, like, how important is it to bring your absolute... Okay, let me back that up, because everyone wants to bring their best to a show, right? But when you're going to a place like Devon, you know, where you're competing, especially like in an in-hand class against purpose-bred horses, like, how important is it to bring your absolute, like, best quality to something like that?
I think not only is it important to bring the best quality horse that you can, but you need to turn your horse out and present them to the best that you can. I mean, I had the undertaking of taking a gray thoroughbred to Devon, which is very high standards of cleanliness.
Yeah.
On a rainy day. But I think, you know, if you are going to come in to the ring on a thoroughbred or any kind of atypical breed at any show, you need to make sure that, you know, your turnout is on point. You know your test. You are coming with a horse that's prepared, because you don't want to give anyone an excuse to say, well, you know, it's a thoroughbred, and, you know, give you, mark you down, give you a worse placing because you not only brought a thoroughbred, but you brought one that you didn't present well. I also think that competitors with thoroughbreds sometimes need to stop using the fact that their horse is a thoroughbred as, well, I can't think of any better way to say it than an excuse. My horse wasn't as turned out well, but it's just a thoroughbred. Or I made mistakes in my test, but it was a thoroughbred.
Like, help yourselves, folks. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
It's like being an amateur isn't an excuse to put a lesser product out there.
Right.
Yeah. I love that mindset, though. Yeah. Like, you've.
Me
yeah.
too.
A, and it's not a crutch. And then B, yeah, it's like you are a little bit in the minority there. You've got to present it the best you can. Don't give anybody a reason.
And there's a lot of things in horses that we don't have any control over. I mean, I think we've all probably
such as horses.
The best laid plans going awry because horses are going to horse. But some of the things that you do have control over is your turnout. Is your horse clean? Is your horse properly braided? Are you well, you know, do you look the part going into the ring? I mean, dressage, especially of all, and hunters, it's a visual sport first. When you're trotting around that ring or you're making your opening circle before you start your course, the judge has already got an opinion of you just from what you look like walking in the ring. So make
Absolutely.
It a good one.
Yeah, totally agree. It's so important.
This is making me remember I didn't show at all this past year. We were saving money and our horses are, you know, kind of needed a year off, but I have a pretty catty thoroughbred that I show in ranch classes, which is very much not a place where you see thoroughbreds. And usually like within the first two turns on a cow, the judges were like, okay, this horse can work cows. But Jobber the last year developed this thing where he was so excited for the cow to come out, he started to pop up a little bit. And I was like, we really need to figure out how to quit this, or they're going to be like, there's our crazy thoroughbred rearing in the ring again. So it was a worthwhile to take a year off, because I was like, oh God, do not feed the stereotypes. Like, please keep all of your feet on the ground. So yeah, this is a good reminder for me of like, when you come, you have to come absolutely prepared to be the best that you have. So thank you for that reminder.
And Hannah, what do you wish, you know, your fellow competitors knew, or what if you could change their mind or like get them to understand what it's like about showing or working with thoroughbreds?
I think one thing that, unless you've been around thoroughbreds and you've seen what life is like on the backside at the track, I think people underestimate the amount of experience and training that horses get at the track. It may not be discipline specific, but I mean, these horses have been handled every day since they were very young by professionals. They know how to stand for the farrier. They know how to get a bath. They know how to lead. They know what it means to have weight up on their back. You know, they've been held to a standard of behaving like solid citizens, even from the time they were two. They have seen tractors and dumpsters and all of those scary things that go on at shows. They have worked in company with horses going different directions, different speeds. And, you know, I think although when we get them home, we have some retraining to do of maybe their mindset, or this is how I want you to use your body for dressage instead of going fast in a circle. But there's a lot of good experience that a lot of these horses have that not every baby warm blood or homebred Connemara cross or whatever non-thoroughbred breed you'd like to pick gets. And I think that that's something that people really underestimate. I mean, one of my horses right now, my youngest, a horse named Chad, wasn't at the track very long. He had one start. He came from very good connections who, when they saw how slow and uninterested in racing he was, they called it. They found him a new spot. They didn't drop him down the claiming ranks. But there are times where I've had Chad at shows, and Chad is the one I had at Devon this year who had a little bit of a meltdown in the ring. I've said, I really think it would have been great for Chad to be at the racetrack longer. Like, he just wasn't there long enough to see all of the things that my horse, who is a year older and had 49 starts and was at the track for 4 years, had seen.
Yeah, they do get exposed to a lot of life experience on the track. And that is, I think, often forgotten by folks who are not thoroughbred people. Is very valuable to have.
It's interesting because, you know, some people covet like, oh, I want the unraced thoroughbred, like let it like have gotten, you know, maybe started, but I don't want it to have too much wear and tear. But I think I'm with you, Hannah. I want one that's like seen the world a little bit.
And if you can find the ones who've seen the world a little bit, but have been with a good operation and haven't been run into the ground, you know, they've been at the track long enough to understand what that life is like and how to be a professional, but you know, they haven't been run into the ground and have a ton of injuries or things you're going to have to undo over time. Like, I think there's a happy medium there, and those ones are really special.
Totally. And Hannah, you've done a lot with your thoroughbreds, but what would you say your biggest bucket list goal for any one of the thoroughbreds that you have it would be?
It is 100% finishing my bronze medal with my oldest horse, Pop-Tart.
Yes, I love that.
He is 19, coming 20. Oh. I have had him since he came off the track at 8. And I mean, we've done a little bit of everything. We've done jumpers. We've evented through training level. You know, we're currently showing third level dressage, and we have all our first and second level scores, and we've come pretty close at third. But I would love to finish it with one of my thoroughbreds, but it would be really special to finish it with him.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be rooting you on for that. That is such an awesome goal, and I'm shooting for that too, but we got a little ways, so can't wait to watch you accomplish that.
Yeah, you'll have to keep us in the loop. We're going to be cheering you on now. Good luck. Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. Well, Hannah, we're going to wrap up with a couple, like, what I hope are fun rapid fire questions, which I always want to do, and I always forget to do with our guests. So this is like, no thinking, just answer. Favorite Thanksgiving side?
Stuffing.
Ooh. Excellent choice. Best color on a horse?
Pink, 100%.
Oh, you went like a tire color. I was thinking coat color.
Oh, well, chestnut.
Yes. Excellent. Yep, you've just us landed too. With two chestnut people, so I love that. But I also like pink. That's also a good answer, but I was like, pink, wait.
Okay. And I have no qualms about putting pink on a chestnut.
Why not? Just like, go all out. I love it. Favorite thoroughbred bloodlines for sport?
Golden Sense or Run Happy.
Ooh, good choices. Favorite or discipline you'd love to try that you've never done before?
Polo.
Ooh, another good choice. Okay, Hannah, we're going to hang out. We're going to get all of our chestnut horses together. We're going to try all these sports. Hannah, if people are interested in like following along with your journey and seeing, hopefully, you and Pop-Tart get your bronze, do you have social media where folks can follow you?
I do. I'm on Facebook as Hannah Johnson Ong, and we're on Instagram as TarheelMD07.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight. Best of luck with the bronze medal and everything else with your thoroughbreds, and we can't wait to cheer you on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
'Tis the season. Score savings on your favorite thoroughbred apparel in the RRP store this season. Use code HOHO25 to save 20% off your entire store order at therrp.org/shop. Now through December 19th.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Well, it is our favorite time of the show where we get to do a little window shopping for new horses that Lee and I maybe or maybe should not keep accumulating in our pasture. But before we do that, we have a training question that we're going to pitch to Amanda Vance from the New York New Vocations Facility. We haven't talked to you in a while. Welcome back, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
So all of us now, like Lee keeps talking about her lovely, like extended riding schedule. You and I are in New York. I don't even have an arena, let alone an indoor. I imagine you have an indoor to be able to keep all those horses going. Is that right?
I do have an indoor. I'm very lucky to have a pretty large indoor too, which like I said, I'm very lucky and very fortunate. So we're able to keep our horses going all year round, but four walls does get boring.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you do to kind of keep it interesting for horses? I mean, like, I imagine maybe the workload shifts a little bit, but, you know, for people who are kind of stuck in the indoor, maybe just sort of going in the same set of circles, how do you keep training fresh for those horses all winter long?
So I am really fortunate. I have one of the girls on my team here. She loves pole work, and she will put poles in all different configurations. And, you know, for our new vocations horses, some of that maybe starting just walking in hand over some poles, but it kind of gets their brain working. And then, you know, they graduate to being ridden over different types of configurations of poles. And she's really cute. You know, at Christmas time, she makes like a big Christmas tree out of poles in the middle of the arena. Yeah, I'm not that creative, but she is. So I'm really lucky that way. So we do things like that. We try really hard to do some like ground play. So sometimes we put the horses in the indoor and get a big ball out and say, hey, do you want to play with this? Are you scared? Can we desensitize you a little bit? I don't know. Get their brains working. See what they like, what they don't like. I don't think there are a lot of wrong answers to what you can do with your horse. You know, I've had people set up little obstacle courses. You know, you can free jump your horse. You can do all kinds of things. But four walls is boring. We do, when we get good snow coverage, I try and make sure that when my arena freezes outside, it freezes flat and it freezes with having been like dragged right before it freezes, so that when we do get like a good amount of snow, we can take horses out and, you know, ride them in the snow and kind of get them, I don't know, it's kind of fun and it feels seasonal. So we do try and get out of the arena with them too.
Sometimes, I bet you get some awesome photos too.
Yeah.
You know, if you stick your photographer out there too and be like, yes. Here.
So we do try and do things like that. And it's kind of fun. And it's kind of fun to see the horses' reactions like, oh, wait, we're going to ride out here. But I don't know. We do try to get out of the arena. Sometimes the footing obviously doesn't allow you to, but we try to set ourselves up to be successful so we can. So that's some of what we're doing. I've had different people on my team that like to do different things. I'm really fortunate. I have, you know, someone who likes to do a lot of groundwork, and so she sort of, I feel like she likes to dance with the horses, and that's what I kind of like, right? That's what I kind of, that's, you know, that's maybe not my strong point, but it's hers. And she uses a lot of body communication to ask the horses to move away. We actually have two indoors here. One's a little bit smaller, so it's easy to use it a little more like a round pen, so you can have a horse be loose in it. So she'll work with a horse and use her body to ask the horse to move forward or move away from her or turn back or come towards her. And I think that that's kind of fun too. Not obviously not everybody's, you know, able to do that, but I don't know. Those are some of the things that we're doing here. I wish we had more time and I wish we had more people and I wish it was warmer. I'm often jealous of, I'm close with Erin at the Ocala facility, and on those cold days I call her and I'm like, what temperature was it there, you know, and what did you
let me hear the warmth. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not always super warm, but even when it's 50 there, it feels so much nicer than when it's, yeah, you know, 15 here. So
you know what, though? You've really helped me put it in perspective, because, like, you know, sometimes the footing is just awful. It's all icy. The driveway's ice. I can't get horses out of the ring. But when I can, I am not contained by four walls. So I do have that benefit of, I guess, something to look at. So,
yeah.
I don't know which way's better. And it's probably not a better or worse. It's just a different scenario. But, you know, we all find ways to adapt. So we all got to do something when you live in New York. Like, you just have to deal with it.
Yep.
I just want to come ride in the snow with y'all.
All right, well, come on up anytime.
Yeah. The novelty will wear off quickly. It's fun, like the first first time or two. And then after that, you're like, oh, I'm cold. I'd like to go home now.
Yeah. Like, note, I put a bunch of, yeah, I put a bunch of like first snow pictures up. You will not see those again. Oh, yeah. That was a one and done. So, yeah. Well, Amanda, tell us about this adorable, adoptable horse that you have selected for us. Oreno. Am I pronouncing that?
It's yes. Italian. Oreno. So, Oreno, named after a winery in Italy. Super good guy. I think my favorite, so he was turned out for a little bit. He had sustained a tendon injury or strain. And so he was turned out for a little bit before he came to me. And he had a little bit of a coat. So I think my favorite part about him is after he had done some work, he was a little sweaty and we had him on the cross ties and we were kind of toweling him off. And he just eats it up. He loves the attention. And he's like, oh, guys, you know, towel me here. He's the sweetest, sweetest horse. He is the type that will just stand there for hours. And under saddle, he's an uncomplicated guy. He wants to work. He always wants to get the answers right, no matter what you're asking of him. I have a lot of construction going on here at my farm. We were putting a new roof on the barn. And I didn't realize that they were starting to put the new tin on while we were riding him. And
oh my gosh.
it was like a very unfortunate timing, but he just handled it so well. And I mean, it could have gone the other way. And this horse was like, okay, well, I don't know, but I'll just keep going because if you're okay, I'm okay. And we're just going to continue to work. And we just kept riding him and he was fine. And they're screwing tin on up there above us. Granted, they were on the other end of the indoor, but.
Yeah, but I've witnessed that before. That is loud. Like, yes. That is, yeah, that's not conducive to nice, happy baby thoroughbred rides.
No, you know, and he just goes around like a nice, like, kind of equitation type, or we could see him doing some eventing or dressage. He just is a nice, responsive horse. And I don't know, we really like having him here in the barn.
Yeah, he's very light on his feet.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's funny because I think that equitation type kind of gets overlooked.
Yes.
But like you said it, and I was like, oh my God, like exactly.
Like, I just, he could just get you to the fences. That's what I see him as. When we were riding, he wants you to sit on him and he just collects so nicely and you put your leg on him and he just, you know, I don't know, he likes to have some soft contact and he's quite lovely.
Have you worked with a lot of Bolt Doros? Because I've been hearing like a lot of them are starting to trickle into second careers and people are overwhelmingly seem to really like them.
They really like them. And the personality has been really nice. And you know, like I said, my experience has been, I've had a couple, just a few, and they have been nice and personable.
Which is crazy because I know like Bolt Doro himself does not have a great reputation for being a very nice
stallion.
I have heard
that. Yes.
but yeah, it seems like all of his offspring are just like, okay, that's fine. So thank God he did not stamp that on.
exactly.
Love it. And I see that he is on sale. Are you guys running a sale right now?
We are. We have our Home for the Holidays sale going on. So our horses are, the adoption fees are half off if the horses are picked up by December 22nd. So it's a fun sale. We kind of, all of the trainers have a good time taking some holiday photos of our horses. Like last year, we did a little Elf on the Shelf photo shoot.
Oh my gosh.
We take our photos, our holiday photos, very seriously here in New York. So we, you know, watch
again,
out.
We got to brighten the days, you know, wherever we can.
we have a fun time with our photos and our team. So look for our holiday, our Home for the Holidays photos. We have our photo shoot scheduled. So
love it. So yeah, he's half off. If you wanted to get yourself the ultimate holiday gift, people, this is the time. Just pick him up by December 22nd. And as you're coming through New York, give me a wave. All right, Amanda, remind us where we can find all of the adoptable horses at New Vocations.
You can find them all on our website, which is newvocations.org.
All right, thanks very much. Stay warm out there.
Thank you. You too.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guest on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram at hotgirlsummer.ottb, and that's girl with a U. My email address is rbeamer95@gmail.com.
You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer, and my email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and My New Horse, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
Always embrace your chestnut mare.
And always cowside leg.